Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last week, we discussed a very popular picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. John gives us such wonderful pictures and vivid descriptions of who Jesus is and what he does. And hand in hand with the Good Shepherd, there is this week's text, Jesus Christ as the vine. Once again, put in this beautiful picture where we have the vine growing up the cross, a perfect representation of who Jesus is. It is very interesting then how Jesus uses this. Wine was a very popular drink back in that time. In fact, it was sometimes the only thing you could drink. Water was tainted, oftentimes, and many times it was in less around than you would even think. Wine was what you drank during breakfast. Wine is what you drank during the hot midday, and wine is what you drank pretty much at every meal. And I suddenly wish I was back in that time. I like wine, can't lie. But there's something important to why Jesus uses these representations, why he uses these pictures. It is to point to a greater teaching of him. Jesus Christ is the true vine. And God is the vine dresser. And once again, you can see what Jesus is saying here. God is doing everything. God is both the one who is the vine, and God is the one who is tending to the vine. He tends to the branches that come off of the vine, which Jesus says is us. And the picture becomes even more clear. A branch does not exist outside of the vine. It grows only in the vine. It cannot prune itself. It cannot do anything except grow in the vine. God provides for that growth. He carefully cultivates that growth. It's wonderful to see. God is the vine dresser. He prunes the trees. He prunes the vines. That means he not only cuts the parts that maybe aren't needed, but he guides the growth. The vine dresser would look at a vine that is shooting up, that is growing on the long wooden stakes. And if it was going the wrong direction, the vine dresser would actually take that vine and place it somewhere else, guide the vine to grow in a different direction. So the branches would not go and overlap another place, so the branches would not be choked out or be burned in the sun, but he would carefully instruct and touch and move the vine so that it would produce the most beneficial fruit, so that the wine made from this vine would be sweet. This is a wonderful picture. It means that our God is right in there, in the midst, working with us. He is not some simple master of the house that is looking at all the servants. He is the master of the house, but he works with them. He works with the people, and he guides their lives. We have a God who is richly in our lives, guiding us through the vine of Christ. This is very important, my brothers and sisters in Christ, because of what this vine produces, what these branches are supposed to produce. They are the abiding fruit of the vine. This abiding fruit is something that has come up much during what I've been thinking about this past year. It's a time of where this entire verse was actually used as my home congregation's mission verse, to grow in the vine of Christ and to branch out into our community. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about what it means then to be the branches of this vine. The branches, according to John, are there to bear fruit. And it is this wonderful thing, it's this abiding fruit that is the love of our brothers and sisters. John himself even says in his epistle, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So then I thought, is this all about just loving our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? If so, then this is the exact same thing I preached on last week, so I can make this a quick and easy sermon. But it's different. Because yes, the fruit that we produce, this abiding love in Christ, is for our fellow brothers and sisters of the vine. But then I thought, well, is that it? Is this fruit just for those who already love Christ? Is this fruit just for us so that we can delight in its sweetness? That we can eat it and be filled? Is the wine just for us? That we might be just hoarding it all? No. And so then I began to think, why are the other verses around us, around in these texts, pointing to something different? We've been going through the Acts of the Apostles, seeing how each of God's words, each how what Jesus is saying, is almost being strengthened by what the early disciples were doing. Beloved, we were talking about the Good Shepherd last Sunday, and we saw how Peter and John stood before the Pharisees, confidently proclaiming their belonging to the flock of Christ. And so today, we see another story, one that might be familiar to you, about how the vine grows and the fruit is given. It all begins with Philip and the eunuch. Philip was a disciple of Christ. Whether this be the Philip the Apostle or just some random guy named Phil, I don't know. I like to tend that this might have been just some random guy named Phil because it makes the story all the more special. So, for this time forth, Philip will be called Phil. So Phil is going around and he is preaching God's word. In and of itself, this is amazing. Because right in the heart of this story, the first great persecution of the church is happening. Stephen, a young man, was killed by a group of very, very zealot Jews, led by none other than Saul, a radicalized man who only wished to stamp out this heresy against the temple and against Yahweh. But the more Saul tried, the more it grew. The more he tried to crush, destroy, and rip out the vine, the branches just kept growing out. And they would go to different places. It left Jerusalem, and the disciples went to other cities. And so, Phil, a simple man, went to Samaria, another good big city. And now, while he was there, an angel came to Phil and said to him, "Go out. There you will meet a man." And indeed he did. Riding in on a chariot, which back then, that was like a Mustang, a Mercedes-Benz. High quality stuff. You would have to be someone important to ride in a chariot. They were also some of the best military equipment out there. They could be rigged to be equivalent to today's tanks, of all things. If you were in a chariot, you were an important person. And there's Phil, a simple guy. And as he goes by, he sees an Ethiopian. This had to be strange for Phil. You see, there's two things that were interesting about this. One is that he was a Gentile, this Ethiopian. He was not part of God's flock. He was not part of the chosen people of Israel. He was important. He was a eunuch in the court of Ethiopia. That's the second problem. He's a eunuch. That means that he was missing some very valuable equipment. And that was actually considered wrong in the eyes of the Jewish people. That was disgusting. And they were actually supposed to shun. Not only because he was a Gentile, not only because he didn't follow the commands and the laws of God, but also because he was unclean to the point of almost not even being a person. When you became a eunuch back in the day, you ceased all personhood, and you became just an object, both in the court and in everyone seeing you around you. but still he was important on a chariot. And he was reading something. Maybe he got it while he was visiting Jerusalem. Maybe he was a believer of God. Maybe he did try to do what the Jewish people did, a Hellenistic Jew, one who was not an Israelite, but still followed the Jewish traditions, but an outsider nevertheless. And so Phil saw this important eunuch, Gentile object, riding on a chariot. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet, talking about how the lamb was led to the slaughter, but did not make a sound. So Phil goes up and asks him a question. Do you understand what you are reading? How he saw that, only God knows. Spirit willing, led him there. And then he goes to the eunuch, and the eunuch says, how am I going to understand this unless someone actually explains it to me? And here we see the abiding fruit of the vine. The fruit that is sweet. The gospel of the Lord. Philip shares this with the eunuch. He shares the wonderful story of Christ. The wonderful story of God's entire wonderful narrative. Of how Christ came into this world as a servant. Who was there rooted in the wonderful majesty and power of God. Who himself was God. And yet came and took the form of a servant. A suffering servant, and so save the entire world through the cross. How the blood, his blood, fed, nourished, and forgave and washed away the sins of the world, and who's by his resurrection proclaimed death dead forever, and that the wonderful songs and cries of joy for his people to last into eternity. Might have been the first time that this eunuch ever heard such a thing. To hear such sweet, sweet news. And so they came by water. And the eunuch said, here now is water. Should I not be baptized? And indeed they did. Phil went with the eunuch. He baptized him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And out came a branch. Vine. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what it means to be the abiding fruit, to be the branch, to grow in the vine. We see it here in our first lesson today, made true in what Christ has revealed to us. It wasn't that Philip was going and he was doing everything. It was all God. It was all rooted in what Christ had done. It was all rooted in what God was doing, leading these people together so that the fruit might be made real and that it might grow and prosper and then made fully realized in baptism. Even Paul, Saul, when he was converted, would write to his fellow churches, to his fellow Christians, and saying that we are grafted onto the vine of Christ. Even those who were not a part of this original wonderful gift have been grafted into the wonderful vine of Christ to grow with him, to produce the fruit that might lead to other people to grow with us. And this, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, is what John was talking about. That we love one another as Christ has loved us. It's wonderful to have this. It's wonderful to preach this. And it's wonderful to live this. For this is how we share and show that we are producing the good fruits, that we go out into this world and do the things that God has given us to do, about where God has led us branches, about how he prunes us, about how he moves us, so that we may walk in his ways, that we may produce the fruits according to his righteousness, and that we may win people for Christ. And it might be something simple. You don't have to go out to the most ritzy part of St. Louis and go knock on a guy with a Mercedes-Benz and say, do you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ? I think you'll get a door slammed in your face if you do that. But what you can do is you can show the love of Christ. You can be kind to someone just in the neighborhood. Ask them how their day is going. You may hear someone in your work and you're saying, I'm praying for you. You can go to someone who is just having the worst day of their life and you can just be there and listen to them as they speak and need to hear that voice. And if God so leads you and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us compels you, you can share the good news of our Lord. It can have amazing effects. I mean, it did. Turn a man who the world saw as nothing but an object, a tool, into a beloved member of Christ. It took us, sinful people, and made us co-heirs of the eternal kingdom of God. And he gives us his very body and blood to eat and to drink to sustain us in this. He gives us the Holy Spirit through our baptism, grafted onto the vine, that we might continue to grow in him. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, my fellow branches of the vine, I urge you all to encourage and pray for you to remain in this steadfast love of Christ, which richly and daily sustains us from this time forth and forevermore. To God be alone the glory. Amen.